And we may take you up on that, Secretary Roebling. Yes. Very good. Thank you. We're going to continue to item 17, third-party shooting range grants. And I believe Kip was, is Kip joining us virtually today, or is he here? Oh. Okay. Welcome.
Good. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Graham Larson, Assistant Federal Aid Coordinator with the Wildlife Division. And today I'm here to talk to you about our shooting range development grant program. All right, so this grant program has actually been around for quite a while. It was developed in 1971 to help combat a lot of the shooting ranges starting to fall in disrepair. And then when they fell into disrepair, they ended up not doing like hunter education courses, bow hunter education courses, and all of that sorts. So they developed this financial assistance for third party cooperators to encourage either new developments or help with some improvements or, you know, some of the deferred maintenance that happened at all of these different shooting ranges that tremendously help out GF&P and the Mission for following through with hunter education and bow hunter education. And then this also ends up helping recruit, reactivate, and retain different shooters that end up, you know, hopefully going out into the field and going hunting. Lately, it's been most of the money that we get is from Pittman-Robertson funding, which comes from excise taxes with shooting, with guns, ammunition, hunting clothing, and all that stuff. And right now, most of that funding actually comes from people that participate at shooting ranges. So the funding for the shooting ranges, as I alluded to, is 75% Pittman-Robertson federal aid. This is something that we do get from U.S. Fish and Wildlife from those excise taxes. And then 25% of that is a non-federal match. And then this ends up going as part of our capital development budget from the GF&P Wildlife Division. So it ends up falling underneath the capital development budget because of some of the type of work that ends up happening at these shooting ranges. And I'll explain that in a little bit later. And then the biggest thing with the third party is that they have to explain where they're achieving the 25% match, because that does not come from GF&P funds. That comes from the third party cooperators funds. So then onto the application criteria and process. So this is a very competitive grant. Like I said, it goes through our capital development budget. Usually what it's been running for the past few years has been about $250,000 to $300,000 that we set aside for these third-party cooperators for their shooting ranges. They have to be a federal nonprofit organization. A few years ago, we kind of ran into a problem where they were giving us that they were a nonprofit through the state of South Dakota. Well, within that nonprofit certificate, there were some third parties that had two different entities that were filing underneath of that, and one part of that entity ended up not being a nonprofit, and that would put us into problems with utilizing the federal aid from Pittman-Robertson. So some of the other criteria is that they do have to offer hunter education courses. That is to help offset and get, you know, help get more people, and that's where that pot of money within Pittman-Robertson comes from. They have to be open to the general public. There's a lot of questions within this general public question or criteria with this. The general public means that they have to have a set number of hours open for their shooting ranges to where somebody that is possibly traveling from out of town and needs to sight in their rifle or their bow before hunting season, or if they just want to wrap off a couple rounds at the range, you know. They have to have a set number of hours open to the general public where they go in and they're able to shoot at these shooting ranges during that time. A lot of people are like, well, we have 4-H groups and all that other stuff. Well, those groups have different criteria to get within those groups. This is only wanting to be for the general public. Anybody can come and help shoot if it's available. And then they, of course, have to explain how to meet their 25% non-federal match requirement. So there's some parts of that 25% non-federal. They can't use any other federal funds, but they can use NRA funds. They can apply for an NRA, Friends of the NRA type grant and help pay for the 25% match. And also with the criteria is that they have to pay for all the improvements and all that stuff 100% upfront, and then we will reimburse them 75%. Just kind of how the Pittman-Robertson works, even within the department. And then must comply with audit request. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, where we get these federal funds from, they come in once every 6 years and they complete a federal audit of all the projects that we utilize our Pittman-Robertson and Dingell-Johnson funds for. And then the last part of it is, you know, they have to explain how the equipment or the capital assets, the sidewalks to make it ADA compliant and all that, the buildings and all that, how is it going to be maintained for its entire useful life? And then the application process, there's an entire checklist and an application that's posted on the GFMP website. It's underneath agency and partnerships and grants within the GFMP website. And this was an application and checklist from the past years. There is a certain criteria that you do have to fill out before. I kind of touched on some of those. But all this stuff needs to be completed before it is turned in. It has to be turned in by March 1st just because of the time constraints to get the grant going and approved by the time that they need those funds. You can see it's a pretty well straightforward type application and grant. There's some questions in there to help with the requirements that are needed within Pittman-Robertson type grants. And then after all the applications are there, I personally go through every single one of the types of grants to make sure that it meets the needs of what the grant is actually needed for. And then we meet with GFNP. I usually meet with Chad and Tom and go over my recommendations for approval of which grants are accepted and which grants are not accepted. And they have to meet, you know, the GFMP values and needs and all of that. So for the past 6 years, there's a little bit of a timeline going up on there. And you'll notice that there are a couple years where there's a little bit higher, but some of those are some special projects, which these shooting ranges can absolutely apply for. It's just going to end up being a little bit longer of a process due to federal requirements on bigger type projects. So I came on in February of 2020, so I put fiscal year 2020 up there. And in that year, we did 5 different ranges for $155,000. And then fiscal year 21, it was down just a little bit due to COVID restrictions from the past year and not as many people actually going out and shooting that we thought. But that was 97,000. And then in fiscal year 22, we ended up gaining some speed, got about $210,000 worth of grants in that. And then fiscal year 929,000. A lot of that came from the IWLA shooting range that you guys toured at in Huron, which it's still ongoing. It's a pretty big project, and I've got some pictures coming up here of what it looked like before. And then fiscal year 2024, we helped out Beacon Hill Shooting Club out there by Brookings in the Volga area to the tune of about $260,000 to help out with that shooting range. They're kind of revamping that. They're in phase one right now of that project. And then this year, the numbers were down a little bit, which is all right. It was $89,000. But I can say that for about every single one of these years, we've had more applications than we've had funds available for. But going through the vetting process, there's some some asks that were a little bit out of reach with the values. Like last year, there was a pretty big project. And then looking through the lease that was asked of the property that they were shooting on, it said right on the lease that is not to be open to the general public. And that is a federal requirement, so we weren't able to help them out, unfortunately. So the types of projects that we end up usually helping out with, a lot of it is archery target replacements for archery ranges. We've done some berm reclamation, new shooting structures, some shade structures of that sorts to help everything out. A lot of new trap throwers, just because back in the 70s, there was a big push on trap throwers at trap ranges and all that stuff. And now those trap throwers are coming at their end of useful life, where we're ending up purchasing a lot more of those. And then new trap houses, some of them are, again, are from the 70s at the end of their useful life that they're needing help out with. Some of the other big ones is concrete walkways. There's a big push to get some ADA available shooting at a lot of these ranges, so we're helping them put in some sidewalks and of that sorts. And then there's, you know, complete range redesigns, just kind of like the picture right there. That is the Huron Ikes range that is currently under construction right now. You can see there's kind of trees popping up in the middle of the range, and there isn't very many berms around right at that point in time with that range and its location. It's kind of a safety issue, so we most certainly hopped in there and helping them out, and it's been a great asset for Huron in the years past. And then building and ventilation updates for indoor shooting ranges. So in total, there's for the past 6 years, we've helped out 35 different total projects. And then within those 35 different projects, it's been 18 different entities. As you can see, there's majority of them are East River. There's some West River ranges in there. And I'm going to point out a couple different ranges, the range up in Marshall County and the range down in Fall River County. Those are ranges that are on GFMP property, but under agreement with shooting clubs, they are running and developing and doing everything for those shooting ranges at those two different ranges. So in total, the 6 year total amount that we've helped out is about $1.9 million. The 75% PR contribution is about, you know, starting to creep up there to $1.5 million that we've most certainly helped out. And then the 25% total match was $492,000 that the clubs have did. So I think that's a pretty good investment on that. And then plus, you know, the shooting ranges remain open to the general public. As I've been traveling around to different parts of the state and trying to get hunting and making sure my rifle's still dialed in, trying to find a shooting range that is open to the general public has been, you know, is an issue in different parts of the state. And then they also help with hunter safety courses. Even though a lot of the hunter education, I'm sure our hunter ed coordinator is probably gonna not like this, but a lot of it's online right now. And so they have to have a place to actually do their field test. And that's where these shooting ranges most certainly come in. And then the children end up helping out with getting able to shoot and getting used to that. And then it also helps out with different shooting groups. As I alluded to, there's 4-H, some of the high school trap groups and all that stuff. They end up having these safe places to shoot. They're not going out in somebody's field and just using a hand thrower or some of that. They actually have a legitimate area to shoot. And then it helps continue the effort to recruit, retrain, and reactivate shooters and hunters for the future coming forward. And then, is there any questions? And then this is an actual picture of the Volga archery range that we helped them develop.
Nice. Questions for Graham? Graham, I just had one. You mentioned the March 1st is the deadline to submit those applications. When do you start awarding them?
So we will end up, as soon as we get those applications in March 1, we'll send out a letter letting them know if they've been accepted by the GFNP for that, probably within 2 to 3 weeks. So just before April 1. And then after they get accepted, we're working on clearances and all of that. And then hopefully by July 1st, the grant is approved from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, so I can send them out letters to help them end up procuring what equipment they're getting or getting bids for the construction that needs to happen.
Very good. Additional questions or comments? Very good. We appreciate the update and the information. Good job. And I'm going to bring